Welcome back, everybody. It's time again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Brought to you each and every week with the golden voice, the man behind the mic, the man who knows more about this subject than, well, certainly than I do, Jim Overmeyer. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much for those who are new to us today. Paul Roberts is our announcer and producer for all things on the Funnel Radio channel. We've got a great lineup today. Great programs coming up. Matt Hine, Rooted in Revenue, West Virginia University. We've got a great lineup of programs today, so please stick around, everybody, for the next couple of hours. Our program today is titled Connecting Content Creation to the Bottom Line. Usually that sounds like an oxymoron. I know everybody wants it to be something a lot more exact, but being able to actually create content creation to the bottom line isn't always easy. Content creation is that ever hungry, ever needy, ever demanding open marketing pit that demands to be fed. And yet it is costly to feed the beast, easy for me to say, and useful information for prospects, customers, investors, and the ever-ravenous press. In this interview today, we speak with Pamela Muldoon, revenue marketing coach with the Pedowitz Group, who will coach us on the measurement of ROI for content creation and delivery. She's probably one of the few people that have the courage to speak about this. We've got a bunch of questions for today, but first a little bit about Pamela Muldoon. By the way, the Pedowitz Group is one of our sponsors, and we've had a lot of their executives on our programs in the last year, from Debbie Gugish to Kevin to Scott in charge of sales. It's been a great group to tap for interesting experience and answer questions. Now, Pamela is a revenue marketing coach. 2 decades of traditional and digital marketing experience. She specializes in campaign and content strategy with a passion for helping clients develop a content marketing culture in the organization. Her career started a lot of years ago, but she looks awfully young to say 20 or 30 years. But must be living up in Wisconsin as a kid, where she transitioned from the on-air personality to copy director for a radio station up in Wisconsin. She does have that experience. Since then, she's been taking on multiple marketing roles in her career, having worked with companies and like ING, Prudential Content Marketing Institute. Pamela was named one of the top 50 women in content marketing in 2017 and 2018, one of the 20 women to watch from the Sales Lead Management Association. She's a professional sales, professional voiceover talent and podcaster. And there's even a comment in here that she likes Las Vegas shooting craps, and she's got 2 great dogs. Pamela, welcome today.
Thank you so much, Jim. Yes, I know. When you start to hear your past kind of formulate in words, it's like, wow. Long time, but right where we need to be when we need to be there. That's how I feel. So it's a pleasure to be here today, Jim. Thank you.
That is a great way to look at it. Very zen-like, Pamela. Yes. Very zen-like. Did you grow up in Wisconsin?
I actually am born and raised out of Minnesota. Minnesota, yeah. So I got the Fargo accent. Whenever you need me to pull that out, I'm happy to do that.
Please do. I love it.
But I actually started, I started my radio career in Minnesota, but I ended up working in a lot of stations in Wisconsin as well. So I kind of say Minnesota, Wisconsin, other than the border, it's pretty much the same. It gets pretty cold and snowy in the winter. So now I live in Henderson, Nevada, where it's triple digits as of this week. So.
Oh, yeah. My cousin lives down there, and he said it's been hot, hot, hot.
Yes.
It's down cold, there. When I was a kid, I was a very small child.
Yes.
We lived up in Manitowish, Wisconsin.
Aha, very beautiful country. Beautiful.
Way north.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Way north.
Yes, it is.
I went to a 2-room school, believe it or not, and it's quite interesting, a long history there, and I don't think I'm that old, but still was a 2-room school. Hey, let's get to this subject today.
Yeah.
This connecting content creation to the bottom line. When we talked about this subject, you felt this is something that had to be talked about and had to be brought up. And where does a marketing team need to start if they want to connect content to their bottom line, and or just not create it and pump it out and not worry about who reads it or who uses it or how it's used? How do they really connect it to the bottom line?
Well, you know, Jim, it's something I've been working in the content space as a content marketing professional for over 10 years. And it's something I've been evolving even myself. I mean, it was actually, you know, as you were introducing me and talking about, I think you called it the pitch, right? I started to think of that old movie, The Money Pit, right? With Tom Hanks and Shelley Long, where they've got this pitch and they're always trying to fix the next thing and the next thing. I think that's a really great analogy for how we've been approaching content to a certain degree over the past 10 years. But now we're all being charged with, and of course we here at TPG speak on that revenue marketing model, right? And we really have to get smarter and more aligned with how we're developing content so it does reach our goals as a business. So I actually like to break things out a little bit of a kind of a process, you know, in terms of steps. And for me, the first place that I think a marketing team should be starting, and this to me is table stakes, they should already be doing this, it's nothing new, is developing that buying journey and those buyer personas, those key personas, right? And I think sometimes because it's table stakes content inside the organization, sometimes we put those together fairly quickly, but you cannot discount the audience you're going after and how well you know them, as well as how they purchase your products and services. And so really taking a step back and making sure that those are in place and they're smart and that everyone on the team is aware of them is really a first important step to connecting to any bottom line. Once I tell folks that those are in place, and you know, I guess there's an assumption in today's world in 2018 that those are in place. So if they're not, obviously that's where they start. But then there's that infamous horrible content audit, right? So I don't know, Jim, if you've ever had anybody talk about content auditing or content assessments, but they can be a real bear, right? Looking at all the current content that an organization has. And this is critical because, again, before you can make any change, you have to know your current state. What do you currently have in terms of content that's already developed that you can either repurpose from as you develop your strategy or you're very familiar with so that you know it can be reused in its current form? Then that third step, which is really critical to the bottom line, is the company's business objective. I think this is where the marketing and sales and the key players in the organization must come together. Marketing must not only know the objectives overall, but then, of course, they have to make sure they understand specifically the objectives they're charged with, right? Are they being charged with increasing MQLs and SQLs? Are they charged with increasing their audience or perhaps brand awareness around a specific product that's launching? Maybe they're being charged with decreasing customer service issues, and content can be used for that. So really kind of, I actually use this kind of Venn diagram of in the next step of pulling it all together, that once you're able to take your current content and align it to your buying journey and your personas, your priorities start to magnify, your gaps start to magnify. And when you
does every organization need to do this content audit after, first they get the personas and understand that, and then they get a content audit to determine what they currently have, what's useful and what's useless. And then this business objectives issue, it's a favorite subject of mine. I'll give a speech in places and ask all the marketers in the room, what percentage of you really know the quotas that the salespeople have to make? And about 30 to 40% raise their hands, and the other 60% are sitting clueless in the dark. You mentioned quotas, and they don't know what the hell you're talking about. Excuse me. I get so excited about this. So you're really talking about nailing down the objectives.
Yeah.
And not just creating the content, but whether it's customer service, whether it's sales, and how are you using it with a marketing automation system, et cetera. So I find it really exciting that you're even talking about objectives. Go on, please, enlighten me.
Yes. And Jim, to me, that's where it all begins, right? If you don't know who you're selling to, and how they buy from you, and then align that, or at least parallel that with what is it that the organization, your company, is trying to achieve, then my big question is, well, why the heck are you making the content in the first place? It's not about making content for content's sake or to make us feel as content creators like we're being busy because we made a lot of content last year. But it really comes back to creating the content that your audience wants and when they want it. And we can talk a little bit more about that. But I've actually started to design, literally, if you think of a Venn diagram, right, those three circles that intertwine in the middle. One circle is your buying journey. One circle are your personas or your key persona. And then the other circle is business objectives. And somewhere in the middle is where those priorities align. So just to give you an example of how it all comes together, Jim, let's say that your business objective is to drive more new qualified leads into your marketing process, into your marketing funnel, for lack of a better word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've deducted through your audit and through the fact that your buying stage is complete, you know, or journeys are complete, that the majority of your content is actually in the later stages. And this is very, very common, especially in B2B, very product-centric, probably more of the consideration or conversion to purchase stage, right?
Closing tools, and, et cetera.
Yes, exactly. We tend to see that quite a bit in B2B. They want to talk about their shiny objects, right? But they forget, they now see that there's a big gap of awareness content that's missing. It's not been created. And if your objective as part of the marketing team working with sales is to drive more new qualified leads into the funnel, which equals new equals awareness, then it's a priority that you organize your content development around developing educational, informational content around your industry and how they, you know, how your audiences become aware of who you are and how you can help them. So this starts to prioritize where you're developing your content based on what your marketing objectives, your business objectives truly are.
Wow. Now, where did you get all this interest, this kind of interest, this kind of focus? Did this come from your stint in content marketing with was it the Content Marketing Institute?
My stint with the Content Marketing Institute, I was actually their podcast consultant for a couple of years and helped them produce and organize content around a podcast network they had developed for about 2.5-3 years. But my interest in content actually started probably, gosh, I'd say around 2008, 2009. That's why I feel like I'm kind of coming in with a walker on the content spectrum, Jim, because I've been around this space for a long time before it was called content, right? It was back when we were just kind of saying, oh, you do a blog or you do social media. And I was fortunate enough to fall into a crowd of wonderful, smart, amazing professionals that understood what I was trying to explain, which is that, no, it's not just those things. It can be so much more, and it's called content, specifically content marketing. So I was actually an independent consultant at the time, and I just decided I needed to go to the first Content Marketing World in 2011, and I've never turned back. It's been a true passion of mine. And now working with the Pedowitz Group, of course, we're such a revenue marketing model organization that to bring these ideas and connect them to the bottom line is critical for what we do as an organization. It's also where the evolution of content as a discipline really needs to be if you're going to do it right and you're going to do it well.
It makes sense that it's a perfect fit. Now, the Content Marketing Institute, wasn't that sold?
It was, yes. My good friend Joe Polizzi was a founder of the CMI back in the early 2000s as well. 2009, I think, is when he started it. And yeah, and just I think it was a year and a half, not even maybe 2 years ago, UBM, the event marketing company, purchased Content Marketing Institute. And they, of course, are now hosting still Content Marketing World in September in Cleveland. They also have Intelligent Content Conference, and I'm sure they're planning up all sorts of things. But Joe is still very involved, as is many of the original team members. So it's exciting to be a part of an industry that has grown this much. And, of course, with content technology, that's a whole other discussion, right?
Okay. Well, we're going to have to take a break to pay for our podcast here with our few of our commercials. When we come back, if you can tell us a little bit about the Pedowitz Group and what they've been doing, because I know they're very revenue-centric for their clients, and I've watched them grow in the last 6 or 8 years since we got Jeff involved in one of our first programs. And when you come back, let's talk about the Pedowitz Group, and then how does the way audiences consume content affect what the companies really develop for the content? Okay. We'll be back in just a moment. Paul, over to you. Let's hear from our sponsors.
Well, first one we want you to hear about is the book that we talk about week in and week out. So many people have picked up and had really positive reviews and response with. That is Predictable Prospecting by best-selling author Mary Lou Tyler. In it, she shows you how to rapidly add qualified opportunities to your sales pipeline, ensuring consistent and, the word we keep emphasizing, predictable. Yes, predictable revenue growth. It's possible. You can get started right away today, turning your business into a sales machine. Simply download a free sample chapter and check it out at MaryLouTyler.com, just like it sounds, MaryLouTyler, MaryLouTyler.com, Predictable Prospecting. And after you've done that, you might want to check out Zuant. It's a new generation of mobile lead capture systems, one you can use at every trade show and every event, or even every day when you're out on the road to present and send videos and literature to your customers right away. Looks great, eliminates the need for manually entering your leads later. It's all pretty smart. You can be too. Just check out Zuant.com. All right, last but not least, we want to do a shout-out it's pretty obvious. We always talk about gold mine, and it starts with the assumption that you rely on your CR system, don't you? And it's usually a love-hate relationship. Isn't that true? Well, most CR systems are expensive. People don't really use it properly, and you're probably paying for features you don't even want or understand. If that's you, then it's time to simplify. It's time to get more from your CRM. Trust Goldmine, the people that helped pioneer the whole industry. They're still around, and they're still doing it for people like you and me. Goldmine CRM is simple, affordable, and proven. If that sounds appealing, just visit their website today and research more about all their various CRM options at goldmine.com. That's goldmine.com. All right, an exhaustive list of things to do, but we have more and more to talk about. We have miles to go before we sleep, as the old poem says.
Thank you, Paul. Goldmine, they've got over 1 million users.
They really do.
Several companies. They've been a great company, and Paul Peterson has been on our program many times to talk about CRM and what have you, so he's going to be back again with us. So right now we're speaking with Pamela Muldoon. She's the revenue marketing coach with the Pedowitz Group, and she's been giving us an education on content management. She's got a deep, deep background in content management. And I asked her to come back. Let's talk a little bit about the Pedowitz Group and then answer some of the questions about the way audiences consume content and what are some of the mistakes that marketers are making when it comes to content development. Pamela, tell us about Pedowitz.
Yes, the Pedowitz Group. We are a revenue marketing consulting agency. So we work with organizations and companies to help them define their revenue marketing, I guess, journey, for lack of a better word. A lot of us in companies, we're starting from a traditional to a demand gen process. We want to keep moving forward with the help of using technology smart, from our CRMs to our marketing automation technology, to the content we develop, and of course the messages in which we try to use to reach our audience. And so we have a very talented staff that is super smart when it comes to technology and strategy, and we blend that together to help our clients move forward and build a revenue model in their marketing and align with their sales as well.
We've had several people talking about content in the past, but never quite. David Lewis talked about it, and Cindy Greenglass and what have you, Erica Goldwater and Teresa Kramer, which you probably know very well from eContent Magazine. We talked about her book, Content Marketing. So let's get into these questions. How does the way audiences consume content affect how you really develop that content?
Yeah, it's an ever-changing process, right? I joke that I've been in marketing long enough to see, you know, when I was a wanted marketer to when I was no longer wanted post-recession, right? all of a sudden we're rock stars again. Part of the challenge of that is you have to really stay aware and be aware of the ever-changing landscape and how our audiences intake and digest content in today's digital spectrum. So, of course, the ultimate goal for us as content providers is we want to get the right content in front of the right people at just the right time. And this, Jim, is not easy. That's why a lot of times it's just easy to create content, because all the other stuff gets to be a lot of work. But we know that our customers are in control of their journey, And so we as creators, there's a couple of things we have to really understand. We have to understand how and why our buyers buy the way they do. And we have to really just understand our buyers. They're 360-degree people, right? So those journeys, yep, and those personas are critical. I mean, they're just absolutely critical in today's market. But we're also up against a wall, Jim, in that the digital footprint or the digital process in which our audience is being inundated, we are up against that as competition, right? So you've probably heard the comment that the average person has an attention span that's less than a goldfish or something to that effect, right?
Yes, that's about that. Either that or a Labrador Retriever, one or the other.
Squirrel. Of course, I don't know how true those really are, but basically we're a population of skimmers and headline grabbers, right? We need images and video to catch our eyes and perhaps hold us for just a little second longer. So it's not easy to get our attention. So that first and foremost in how we ingest content is critical in how we develop it. And when you think about awareness content, even more so critical, right? So researching information on the web is now the normal way that folks go. So here's the interesting kind of dichotomy of that, is it may take a lot of effort to get my attention, but once I'm actually searching and researching for something, I'm going to spend a lot of time, for example, in Google and different expert websites and blog sites to get the information and the answers that I'm looking for. So we have to really understand that creating content for all of the stages of our customer's journey is critical, because we don't know when they're going to come to us, right? They could have gotten awareness content from your competitor, but now they're finding you in that more of a consideration stage, or vice versa. So my challenge to content creators is, have you developed content that touches each of the stages so you're prepared when your audience seeks you out and finds you? That's really critical.
Sounds like a big whiteboard to me.
I know, right? And then, of course, you've probably heard of the concept of binging, right? Like Netflix has brought this, I think it's now an actual verb, right? Binging. And when you think about it, when you research something, purchasing a new car, purchasing a new piece of software, a new software for your company, once you have time to sit down at your computer, you're going to spend 20, 30 minutes looking for information. So my second challenge is, do you have as a company, as a content creation team, have all of that easy to access and all of that easy for them, for your audience to just get step by step by step? And that's why we're starting to see some really great content technologies that are allowing us to develop content hubs, per se, right? Where I can actually put all of my videos, all of my white papers, all of my infographics, all in one space based on keywords or based on a persona, and that allows our audience to ingest the content on their terms much easier.
Makes sense. Don't forget podcasting. That's something close to your heart.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of ways to use podcasts to help create content. Paul's giving the thumbs up here. I can see him, so he's waving at me, smiling, and
fantastic.
What have you. Well, we've only got a few minutes left here. What are some of the mistakes that marketers make when it comes to content development?
You know, I think kind of talking about why this is not easy work, right? What I've been able to share in the last few minutes, I know this isn't easy, but my fellow marketers, publishing, for example, 12 white papers a year does not a good marketing KPI make, okay? Just because you can look back at 2017 and say we did a white paper a month does not mean you were doing something that connects content to your bottom line. I too often see, especially in the B2B space, we're focused more on the thing instead of the why. The thing isn't going to help us if we don't know why we're developing it. And I think that every piece of content has a purpose and an intent, and that has to be connected directly to your business objectives. So I think that is probably one of the number one mistakes we make. We can look busy, but busy doesn't necessarily drive production.
I love it. Thing versus why. It was so easy years ago when content first started coming up and everybody scrambled and said, oh, I've got CRM, I've got email, I've got marketing automation and a market first. What content do we throw in there? I don't know. Let's throw whatever content we've got. Scramble through the, all the files. Whatever you've got, if it applies, change the title and throw it at them.
Right.
Those days are gone for anybody that's smart and intelligent today and doing this. Unfortunately, we're kind of coming to an end. I'd love to have you come back and talk to us a lot more about this subject. because you seem to be an expert at it, and an expert from a real application standpoint, a real revenue standpoint. Now, we've talked about connecting it, but we didn't have the time today to fully connect it and really connect it all the way through to revenue. So could you come back in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about the other half of this program?
I would love to, Jim. I would love to. I'm passionate about content and passionate about helping companies make money with their content. So absolutely.
Well, let's come back and we'll have our segment two based on this conversation, which is going to be the repeat of the subjects here of connecting content creation to the bottom line. How can someone reach you, Pamela?
The best way to reach me is, I guess, from the digital spectrum, I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, so I connect with pretty much anybody who reaches out. So at Pamela Muldoon on Twitter is a great way to connect with me. Of course, my profile is on LinkedIn, Pamela Muldoon as well, so those are great ways to connect. And definitely, if you want to learn a little more information on our company and how we roll, PedowitzGroup.com is another way to get to know just how we work in the revenue spectrum. So. Appreciate the opportunity,
excellent.
Jim.
Great. I appreciate you taking the time today. It was a great subject, and I think it has a lot more legs than what we've been able to give it today. Pamela Muldoon, please have Elizabeth, your PR director, give us a call. We'll schedule the other half of this program, the rest of the story, so to speak.
Yes,
thank you very much.
A Paul Harvey reference. I love it.
Nobody even knows who Paul Harvey is anymore. But you're going to come back for the rest of the story. And next time, please do it in a Minnesota accent.
Will do.
Paul, over to you.
Over to me, the only person who, other than the two of them, knows who Paul Harvey was. The great Paul Harvey. Well, you've been listening to another great episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of our organization. Has to do with sales, lead management, or marketing? Probably starts here. The SLMA Radio Show. One of the many shows on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.